Hi, this is Perry Marshall, and you're about to hear a conversation that I had with Michael Strickland. Michael Strickland is in the auto transport business, and he has grown his company from teeny tiny seedling to a pretty substantial player in that space in the last few years. And he did that through his participation in our bobsled run personal coaching program, as well as roundtable and private client group. And we've had lots of conversations about building a star business, building a business that you can run on an hour a day, figuring out what ultimate dream does he have for this business in the first place. Well, all those questions took on a new meaning when he was doing sports over the weekend and got a concussion and suddenly had to deal with some serious limitations while he recuperated from that. So join me in my conversation with Michael Strickland.
Last time I experienced anything like this was a couple of years ago. I got a hernia, and so I had to go get it operated on and get it fixed and spend a couple days in bed recovering, hopped up on meds. And so I literally had to delegate everything. I knew it was coming because it was scheduled, so I sort of prepped my team to say, you guys are going to have to do all this stuff that I've been doing because I'm going to be out of commission for 3 days. And then so that happened, and it made me realize I was the biggest bottleneck in my business. Because all of a sudden, they not only did that, but they were like, oh, we love doing this stuff. And I was trying to do all this stuff. And I thought it was ironic that it took a hernia for me to realize that was totally unrelated to business, but to get the hernia made me realize that I was trying to do too much. So now, I mean, here I am. I've been so caught up in all of this minutia about the business and, you know, traffic's down. Concussion happens.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And so that was sort of the thing of like, what is that? What, you know, so, and I said, and I don't even know if I am completely tuned into it, but in that memos from the head office kind of way, why am I being told, Michael, you can either stop and sort things out, or we can just stop everything for you?
Ooh.
But okay. So in terms of my desire, in terms of sharing the story, because I know this relates to the Koch seminar, but for me, the interesting thing was this. I was so stressed about all of the stuff in the business, about the drop in traffic, about my underperforming salespeople, about all of the little business stuff. There was a moment when I was in the ER, and I was trying to really be cool about it. I'm one of those people where it's like, I like to, even when things are out of control, I like to sort of maintain a semblance of control, an appearance of control. So they were like, okay, you've got a concussion. Yes, you're going to need, you know, we're going to need to stitch that up. I needed 9 stitches, and here's some ice. We don't think we're going to need to do a CT scan or anything like that. And I was like, okay, you're good. And, you know, how did this happen? Oh, I was playing football with a bunch of buddies, and we batted heads, being very jovial and nice. And at one point, the doctor's standing there, and I said, oh, you know, one thing that was weird is that when I first got up, I had, like, this rush from my nose. I thought for sure I had a gushing bloody nose, but when I looked down, it was clear, and then it just stopped. And the doctor's face went white, but just went blank for a second. And then she went, I am going to get a CT scan on you. And she leaves to go schedule it and stuff, and the orderly comes back in, and she was, you know, ready to sort of talk me through, I think, discharge. And I shared this story with her, and she went, oh, yeah. That would be your cerebral spinal fluid. That's not good.
Ooh.
And so all of a sudden, every worry I had about anything else in life just went away, because all I could think about was my wife and my kids and is my brain okay? And, you know, thank God, knock wood, it is. It was fine. But it was sort of one of those things where, apart from the perspective that it gave me on a lot of things, it really just sort of gave me that perspective that we've talked about, where I, in one of the masterminds that you had done a couple months ago, where the gentleman was talking about, if you got diagnosed with cancer,
oh,
how
right.
happy would you be or whatever. It's like, you know, one of those things where I realized that all the problems that I had weren't really problems. You know, I mean, having something happen in an instant like that to your life and to your health, that's a problem. Fortunately, it was just a scare and not a problem. But it really kind of brought everything into perspective, where I, as a business owner, had felt overwhelmed by the things that needed to get done or that weren't getting done or the improvements that needed to be made. And since then, it's been a lot more like, okay, I need to just sort of figure out, realize that all of these are things that can be overcome and realize what it is about this business that needs to serve the greater purpose of what is this, how does the business relate to my life and what does it, you know, provide me on that front? You know, why am I doing this in the first place? And that's to provide for and support my family and enjoy life with them.
So how did this change your perspective about, oh, you know, I'm not saving the world?
The interesting thing is that this coinciding with my conversation with Susan too, it's not so much who gets to decide what's saving the world. You build a better mousetrap and that saves the world in a certain way. I mean, Amazon saved the world by making it so that I don't have to leave my house to go shopping anymore, you know, or whatever. You know, you can add a convenience that saves the world. I do think it did cause me to wake up and say, when Maya Angelou passed away, all these quotes were going around, and there was one that she said that I thought was really great that said, success is liking who you are, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. And so for me, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not the biggest player in my industry, but am I doing this with a purpose that matters to me? It sort of got me back in touch with that. And maybe not everybody identifies with that purpose or how we run things and what we do, but that doesn't change why we do it and why, you know, we feel like what we do is necessary.
So right? Keep going.
No, I was going to say, in terms of relation to the business, you know, what was great about, if you could say, what was great about this experience, what was great about the fact that of being having to lie in bed for a week was that, you know, through the improvements we've been making and through, you know, trying to do stuff like Richard talks about or even, you know, Michael Gerber talks about and you talk about, it's like everyone talks about building a business that doesn't need you to run it all the time. There was, as much as I need to take advantage of that from a vacation standpoint, to step away and do it deliberately, to go to those quiet places so that I can think those bigger thoughts, it was nice to have the freedom to do that, to know that the wheels were going to keep turning and everything was going to keep moving along and that I just needed to give the minimal input that I was capable of giving. I had created something that could continue to do that. Now, could it do that perpetually? No, it would just sort of, I think at some point without direction or something, you know, or at least directive devices that I haven't set up yet, it would just spin itself off into oblivion. But it made me realize the tremendous blessing that that is. But also, my number one thought as I laid there in bed thinking about things was that I can go on doing this and doing it profitably, but it will continue to be that hamster wheel, you know, even though it's a, like you say, you know, we can create it into a golden hamster wheel and I can have other hamsters do it, but it will always need to be turning. And in terms of making a difference, either doesn't have to be saving the world, but making a difference to the consumer and to, you know, myself is going to require a pretty big change, like a big mind shift and a big, you know, simplification. As you talk about, you know, simplifying it. The end goal would be that it really transforms my industry. But it's like I can continue to run along in the pack of everyone else, or I can try and create something that's kind of an outlier. And that's what laying in bed, not having to deal with emails and things throughout the day, just sort of brought me to. I was like, this really needs, unless I'm okay with just continuing to, you know, ring the bell and get my piece of cheese, I got to figure out how to create a game changer.
Wow.
What that is.
So does that mean now you're on a mission to create a game changer?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so now...
Well, now now it becomes how do I maintain this, but rather than maintaining this to grow this into, you know, the biggest, even for my industry, the biggest car shipping brokerage out there, how do I maintain this to feed the project, which is ultimately a game changer? And maybe it's like, you know, the folks that are sending rockets into space. We're going to shoot a rocket up there and it's going to not work out. We're going to say, okay, now we know how not to do it. But it just becomes this side project that it's like, got to constantly be thinking, how could this be different? Not how can I be the best among this pack, but how can I break off, you know, create something that nobody's thought of? And it's just a matter of figuring out now, and it's hard to do in the day-to-day. You know, the bigger picture things are, I have to sort of figure out what the key components are. So I've got to step back, and now that I know the goal of what I want to achieve, I've got to sort of figure out what the key ingredients are. So that's where I'm at in terms of that.
So would you say then that deciding that you want to create an outlier is expanding your conception of what it means for your business to serve people?
That's what I grapple with in the quiet moments, you know, because I feel like as I get into it, I get worried about traffic. I get worried about things like that. And I don't necessarily step back and think, what would the people want? And the people in my case is not just customers, but because I'm a broker between customers and carriers, it's, you know, what the one part of the business that even in the 6 years we've been in business, we haven't necessarily focused as intently on is how can we make this better for the carriers? How do we make it easier for them and the customers? Both user experiences are easy. Both of them get set up very easy and simplify that.
Yes. Well, Michael, that is brilliant. And I wonder how many people, when they have some little disaster or even big disaster happen in their life, how many of them say, okay, so what really should I be getting out of this?
Yeah.
Right? And that is exactly what you just did.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, I mean, you always make the reference memos from the head office, you know, so this was like a frying pan from the head office. Susan shared this with me. It had been shared with her, but Oprah was on something where she was saying that heaven sends you messages, and they'll send messages to you subtly, and then they'll send it to you a little more deliberately. And if you're not getting it, heaven will hit you on upside the head with a frying pan. And that was sort of like literally it for me. And for me, it was that you talk about people like knocking you to your senses or whatever, but it was literally that. Like for me, it took that to get me to realize that everything that I was worrying about were the wrong things to worry about. Right? And I had just gotten so absorbed in it. And partly I was absorbed in that because of the successes that the business has had over the last couple of years. So all of a sudden it starts to, you do something and it becomes successful, and you almost become obsessed with your own creation to a point where you lose perspective on it.
Wow. That's pretty profound. I mean, it really is. And so, you know, Michael, if you build an outlier by coming up with some new way to solve a bunch of problems that your carriers have and that your customers have, and then it suddenly 4x's or 10x's your business, it's like you get a triple victory. The people on one side of your business are better served. The people on the other side of your business are better served. And you are freed to, maybe you don't even have to be there in the day-to-day, and you can go work your magic in some other place or whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing.
Right, or just focus on the things that really matter, whatever that is to anybody.
Yeah.
To me, that, you know, my only thoughts were my wife and my kids and, you know, what was going to happen if something was really wrong with my head.
Yeah. I know this lady named Carol Arnott, and she says, if you don't listen to the nice messenger, a cruel one will appear.
Right.
All right. What messages are any of us not paying attention to that we ought to, like, hello?
Yeah.
So everybody's got to answer that on their own.
Yeah, and it's going to be different for everybody. But yeah, it's like the messages are there. You know, the memos from the head office are there. And it is one of those things when sometimes it's like, and I've always been one of those people that I do believe things happen for a reason. Sometimes they're just so bizarre and so cruel that you struggle to understand why that is,
yeah.
why any sort of tragic event could possibly be happening for some sort of reason. But I do believe that you have to listen to those messages that the universe is sending you.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Well, Michael, thanks for making everybody think. You know, not everybody likes to do that, but That is very good.
Hopefully it doesn't take a concussion for everyone to realize that, because these are no fun.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thankful that you're in good shape. And all right, yeah. So now you're on a new trajectory. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. That was fantastic.